May the words that I say be in the name of the living God, who is Father, Son, and Holy Spirit. Amen. Amen. At Christmas time, we find ourselves as Christians looking upon a newborn baby in all his helplessness. God, so vulnerable, he draws us down to himself in the manger. A week later, New Year's Day, we are reminded of the occasion when this child receives his name, Jesus, which means the one who saves, Saviour. And we understand at that ceremony his solidarity with his own people in the covenant of circumcision. But today, as the Church remembers the adult Christ's baptism, it is in his standing alongside sinful humanity that we see him enter the waters of baptism. He, the sinless one, stood with sinners whom he had come to save, to fulfill his name. He showed himself at one with us, the human race. It's a curious phenomenon in our English culture that Christmas and New Year bring out the desire in not a few people to celebrate by taking a dip and plunging into cold waters, whether it be the Serpentine, the English Channel, or even Father Thames. Off with the old and in with the new. Let the icy waters brace your resolve for the coming year, and perhaps get rid of that hangover. Well, perhaps there is an unsuspected link with baptism, but perhaps also at the moment it's a pretty hazardous undertaking with all the floods around. The gospel writers also present Jesus' baptism to us as inaugurating his own ministry. For here he receives affirmation of his mission from his heavenly Father as he anticipates his own death and resurrection in that symbolic drowning, the going under the waters and rising out from them. Here is a new birth, not just a washing away of the past, as John the Baptist's baptism was, but here is a birth in the Spirit. It is God in Jesus, in the Spirit, who will save and redeem. Later writers in the early centuries of our faith were not slow to pick up the symbolic allusions of all this from the Scriptures. As Noah was called upon by God to save creation from the flood, so Christ carries God's people and the created world through the waters of drowning and destruction. As Moses led the children of Israel through the waters of the Red Sea and God saved them from the pursuing enemy, so Christ, in his own person, takes on the sin of the world and drowns it in the waters of baptism. Or as we heard in our Old Testament reading this evening, as Joshua led the people of Israel across the River Jordan into the Promised Land, so Jesus, the same name of course as Joshua, so Jesus, through baptism, leads his followers into the Promised Land of the Kingdom of God. Noah, Moses, Joshua were all figures from the Hebrew Bible who could easily be identified as servants of God. But as the writer to the Hebrews put it this evening, long ago God spoke to our ancestors in many and various ways by the prophets. But in these last days he has spoken to us by a son who coexisted with the Father and was present when creation began. above all the gospel writers and subsequent generations of Christians, have seen in Jesus the one who truly embodied that prophetic figure, the servant of the Lord, and who brought forth justice to the nations. For in this sense, justice means a way of life based on God's teaching and judgments, which Jesus supremely taught and lived out. The baptism of Jesus thus came to be seen as the sign of the new creation under which his followers would enter his kingdom, share in his mission, and receive the enlightenment of the Spirit. One of those early writers, Gregory of Nyssa, even went so far as to see Christ as a sort of Atlas figure. He said this: as he emerges with the water which runs off his body, he elevates the whole world. Christ carries the world on his shoulders, perhaps anticipating his carrying of the cross for the salvation of the world. No wonder then that this day of baptism has come to be seen as so important. It anticipates the whole of Christ's ministry and mission. The Father's voice from heaven affirming Jesus in his vocation, the anticipation of his suffering, death, and resurrection in this extraordinary rite of baptism, the descent of the Spirit on him as it would come upon his new body, the Church, at Pentecost. This rite of baptism, this curious business of stripping off one's clothes and thus symbolically allowing God to strip away all pretensions and selfishness, and then being cleansed and brought to new birth in the water, and then putting on fresh new white clothes of the newly baptized, the garments of purity and humility, all this from the days of Jesus and his apostles became the way that one became a professed follower of Christ. If you call yourself a Christian, then whatever church or denomination you're likely to belong to, you will probably have been baptized. Do you know and remember the date of your baptism and the renewal of that baptism, perhaps at confirmation? Might I suggest that if you don't, you find it out and make that day each year an opportunity to renew your personal commitment to Christ. That day is your spiritual birthday. Whenever it took place, whether we were brought as a baby or child to the font in the love and faith of our parents and godparents, or we were baptized in our adult years, we ought to recall it, so that we may live out its implications more fully. Adopted as God's child, following Christ in the power of the Spirit, dying and rising with Christ into his kingdom, this should not be simply commemorating some distant past event. It was once for all, but it is an ever-present reality, as God's continuing grace seeks to transform us to be like Christ, so that we may see all peoples as potential sons and daughters of God. Today, we are remembering the glory of God in the common humanity of the naked Christ, going down into the Jordan and rising up from the waters, affirmed and declared God's Son. This evening, we have installed Jeff Riggs as a lay canon of this cathedral in recognition of that important, significant work undertaken by the Bishop of Guildford's foundation. A lot of that work is essentially unseen, but through its grant-making, its support and example, many, many small-scale projects are enabled to happen which improve the opportunities and quality of life for many people in the more deprived and difficult areas of our diocese. So, Jeff, I would like to thank you and your fellow trustees for all that work that lives out our Christian faith with such integrity. For there is a link here with what I've said about baptism. Christ's identity with our human race in all its glory and fallenness, and his lifting up of that humanity through baptism and the cross, and our Christian response to care for others that they might grasp that glory to which they are called in Christ. That's the link. So today, this evening, and tomorrow, let us see the glory of God in the common humanity of every man, woman, and child. And in seeing that glory, commit ourselves to remember our commissioning for service and ministry that was and is our baptism. A commission to bring more people to know God in Christ, so that they find their own lives enriched and transformed by God's redeeming love. Well, by all means, take a dip in the Serpentine, or the Thames, or even the River Wey, if you like, and you feel it helps, although I wouldn't advise it at the moment. But please don't expect me to join you. Christ, the Son of God, perfect in you the image of his glory, and gladden your hearts with the good news of his kingdom. The blessing of God Almighty, the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit, come down upon you and remain with you this night and always.
Amen.